Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are on season 2, episode 7 of The Crown called
Matrimonium. Which, you have to kind of wonder why we're going into the Latin right now, but I guess they've been kind of doing different language-based titles.
Well, this isn't the first Latin one, so...
Right, but yeah, it's not German either.
No. I don't know why this is such a big deal. Yeah, Matrimonium.
Right.
And this definitely isn't the last Latin title.
Name. No, it's not. So we are obviously going on with the lives of the royals, and we will have our usual caveats and disclaimers and all of those things, and those would be obviously that we are going to have cursing because cursing happens. If you listened to the last episode, I'm sure you know that. And if there was any question, there are probably going to be spoilers for other episodes of The Crown. And also, we are having drinks. And so we went to mocktails for today. So what kind of mocktail do you have?
I have ginger ale, grenadine, and a little splash of lime juice. And it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I think they call it, like, something or other Shirley Temple. It's like, that's already a mocktail.
Yeah, no, it's not a Shirley Temple. It's just because it has grenadine does not make it a Shirley Temple.
No, it does not.
But it's pretty good. I like it. And sorry for the ice ASMR.
Yeah, things happen. So I have, I think they called it, like, some sort of, like, berry harlot or something like that.
What?
I guess they're trying to make these things interesting.
But why harlot?
I don't know. But it is not exactly as the recipe called for. I actually looked up mocktails. Town and Country has a list of, like, 28 best mocktails, whatever. This one consists of a blackberry puree, which also has a tiny bit of simple syrup in it, some mint, some lime juice, and ginger beer. And mine is the Fever Tree ginger beer, which if you haven't had it, it's got a really sharp edge to it, so it kind of ups the level of anything you put it in. It does not obviously have alcohol, but it makes you feel like you're doing something interesting because it's just a little sharper. So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I know you didn't like it that much.
Well, I appreciate some sharpness, but I do like sweet, so I'll stick to mine.
There you go. Great. So do we have a synopsis for this episode?
We do. According to Netflix, this is the synopsis. A letter from Peter Townsend spurs Margaret to, sorry, that was just a visceral reaction, spurs Margaret to make a bold proposal. Elizabeth has good news that causes complications for Margaret.
It's always complications for Margaret.
Boo-hoo. You know,
it's kind of like, oh, let Edith be happy.
Yeah. Well, no, I feel worse for Edith.
I do too, because...
Well, eventually. Like, she's a real bitch in, like, the first...
couple seasons.
Yeah, two
of Downton Abbey. For those of you who have not watched Downton Abbey, you should do that too. But after you watch The Crown and listen to all of our episodes on The Crown. So, this episode opens...
It's not really a flashback. It's just 1959.
Right. So this opens in Brussels, and Peter is getting up, and they're cutting in what Margaret is doing in London at the time. So he's in Brussels. He gets out of bed. He puts on a robe.
But, like, just based off of, like, what they show of his apartment, it's clear that he has... somebody, he's moved on because he has, like, flowers and ladies' clothing and all that stuff. So.
Right. And they're playing the song The Wonder of You, which I think is going to come up in later episodes. But he is alone in bed, which is kind of interesting. Margaret is alone in bed, but it looks like she, like, fell into bed is hungover.
Well, yeah.
And she's fully clothed. The maid comes in and Margaret tells her to get out, you know, very
abruptly. But, like,
abruptly.
The maid brings her the essentials, water, aspirin, and a letter from Peter.
Yeah, because, you know, letter from Peter. So, but we had seen him writing this letter. And the letter is dated August 13th of 1959. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, basically saying, hey, I've got a heavy heart, but I'm marrying my secretary.
Yeah.
Sorry!
Yeah. Yeah, Margaret feels betrayed, angry, and heartbroken, and she breaks more stuff in her room.
Because you can do that. if you have $1 million.
Margaret then visits Tony. Well, okay, kind of visits. Like, she's going to his exhibition.
His gallery opening.
Yeah. And tells him about the letter. And he's kind of like, oh, yeah, he's calling Peter boring and stuff. And he's like, he looks like a pajama man.
Yeah.
He's, and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, oh, he's straight missionary position. He's definitely a pajama guy with such contempt. Like, you know, and Margaret's like, he's not boring, you know. But she doesn't have anything that she can point
to. But also, apparently, the person, the girl that Peter's marrying is 19.
I
knew he was a pervert. We knew.
And she says something, and it's like almost under her breath, Margaret's like, well, he raped me. It's like, oh my God.
Wait, what?
It's very quick.
I did not hear that.
So it's in her exchange with Tony. He's like, oh, she's 19, blah, blah, blah. Well, he raped me, so he's like, well, and then Margaret changes to, like, I'd rather be the one doing the breaking up.
Okay. I did not hear that, and I also have captions on, so I don't know how I missed that.
Well, I have a feeling it has to do with her age more than actual consent.
Sure. Probably.
I also suspect that there was some extrapolation going on the part of the writers, but...
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be common knowledge, like, the age of the person he married
right.
would probably be common knowledge at that time. So that is... probably true.
Yes.
But, yeah. Either way, basically, since she's been released from the pact of, like, oh, I'm never going to marry anyone else kind of thing that they agreed to when Peter left, which, when were you ever going to, like, uphold that? Really? No.
That's
you weren't
ridiculous.
Even going to uphold that from, like, before when you were engaged to Billy Wallace. Like, this is not new. Like, you were going to break the pact eventually. But since he's broken the pact.
He's asked to be released from it.
Yeah, and so they kind of, like, discuss marriage, and basically, like, Tony doesn't want to get married because it would be too conventional, and he's all artsy and weird.
And Margaret actually says, you know, can't we marry unconventionally? And he doesn't want to talk about it, and she's pissed. She's like, look, I just proposed to you. And he doesn't want to talk about it, and she's like, fine, I'm leaving.
Well, he also says, like, unconventionally... as in, like, we would have to break all of the bonds of marriage, or, like, something
yeah.
like that. Like,
yeah,
all the promises you make, or the vows and stuff like that, you would have to break all of them for it to be unconventional to him. I'm like, what? So,
he's pretentious in his own
way. I hate him.
But, other than I love the actor, I think he's great.
I love the actor, he's great, but I hate him.
So the paparazzi actually leave and follow Margaret. They, you know, all this press had come to the gallery opening. Apparently, they came for her.
Yeah, most of them.
And
yeah.
So she leaves, and they follow her. And
Princess Diana, because of course they have a scene in a car where somebody is being, like, harassed by the paparazzi.
But this has a point here.
Well, it has a
that
point.
Is separate from that, which is that the press is only interested in him as long as he is with her.
Yeah, and I think that's the point. But this is, like, the second time where it's been something similar to that. And it usually happens to Margaret. Like, it was Margaret and Peter before.
Right.
And then, like, when they were going to that party.
Right. The flashy people get the flashy media coverage.
Yeah. Anyway, Tony then goes to dinner with his mother, and she apparently didn't come to the exhibition because of his half-brother or something. Had something to do.
I love, and you probably didn't even notice this, when they give a shot of the restaurant where Tony's meeting with his mother, Kristen Scott Thomas, the actress, is, like, just sitting, she's one of the extras. You know who Kristen Scott Thomas is? She was in The English Patient, and in Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, wait, is she the main person in The English Patient?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, she's just an extra.
I did not notice
I had just seen her in Slow Horses, which is a series that's, I guess, on Apple TV or something. And so I'm like, wait a minute, that's Kristen Scott Thomas. And she's just an extra in this. How bizarre.
Okay.
And it is kind of bizarre that they have these high-level English actors just kind of appearing. Because she doesn't get lines or anything else. So
yeah, that's probably why I didn't notice. Apparently the exhibition went well, and the press, except for the Times, were impressed.
And she's like, I only read the Times kind of thing. Like, I'm only, you know, that person.
He tells her that he turned Margaret down, and his mother thinks he's crazy because he is. You see Tony taking pictures of and getting with an interpretive dancer on his
getting with
on his steel stairs, which is Bridgerton levels of uncomfortable. Like, seriously, you have
what against... What is it about stairs?
Yeah, I know. You have against a tree. You have on concrete steps. You have in a gazebo that is made of concrete as well. And now you have steel stairs in, like, an apartment that is kind of, like, industrial age kind of thing. And I'm like, that looks so uncomfortable. Whatever position you are in, that is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Why can't you just... be normal.
Because we have to be unconventional. We're thinking about the visual effect of whatever. But yeah, they have sex on the stairs. They have sex on the balcony in his apartment. And he clearly is inspired by her because they then cut to the couple that he...
Mr. and Mrs. Fry.
Right. That he had pointed out at the party that was the first party where he and Margaret met. And that couple, apparently he's been having an ongoing relationship with both members of the couple.
Together.
And
basically they talk about how he's going to get together with Margaret and...
Before that, there's this whole conversation about the dancer has made you more imaginative and more whatever. And he's like, oh, really? Yeah, well, that's great. And they're all fine with this menage. I think that all of that is to show the level of comfort in this trio, right?
Well, it's more than a trio and they know it, but...
Right, but I mean, trio, when the three of them are together, it's just a trio.
Well, yeah, but like, they're comfortable with him also having...
multiple other people, yes. Others. And in fact, they seem to think it's a good idea.
And also, like, Tony's like, yeah, I'm going to, like, pop the question with Margaret, and...
And they're like, oh, really?
Well, apparently Tony said that Margaret has thick ankles and the face of a Jewish manicurist, mm-hmm. and I'm like... What? First of all, Vanessa Kirby, no.
Yeah, no.
That is absolutely incorrect. But also, if you say that kind of stuff about the person you are going to marry, why are you marrying them? And obviously he has ulterior motives, but, like, coupled up with everything else.
But right, it's just but it makes you really hate him as a character.
And he was just like, but she's also adorable. I'm like, that doesn't...
And she has a temper.
And he's just like, it's not unsexy. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah.
I hate him. I hate this couple. I don't like them.
Yeah, and so...
And he also feels like he has to marry Margaret for other reasons. Right. A.k.a.
Mommy issues
and also brother issues.
Well, I think that that's part of it. I also think that he realizes that he can't keep things going with Margaret. He's not going to get the business... or the acclaim that he's getting without Margaret, and he can't just, have a sexual relationship with her. He's got to marry her.
Yeah, because she's not, it's not what she
She's
wants.
Not going to have it, yeah.
No, there's the only way to keep her in his life is for him to make a commitment. And then you see Margaret getting ready to go to talk to Tony, and the Queen Mother is watching TV because that's all they make her do now in the background.
It's really sad.
But it's like educational TV, so it's like about penguins or something.
Right, so, but Tony is waiting for her outside the palace. He's on his motorcycle. They're playing Vivaldi Spring, which again, Bridgerton. And it's like so perky, happy, lovely, right? They have, like, fighting sex in his apartment. Like,
no, I wrote down, they fight and roughly have sex, in parentheses, that's healthy. Like, really? What the heck? Like, they're, pushing and, like, throwing, like, shoes at each other, and then they start making out and, like, having sex. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, like, if this is, like, always gonna be...
How it's gonna be, why are you doing this?
Yeah. Yeah, like, you gotta wonder.
Like, are you guys just masochists? Like, what's going on?
A sadomasochist, maybe. So he lights two cigarettes afterwards, and he has a box for her. Mm-hmm. And she opens it's a big box. And
it's like a Russian nesting doll situation where it's just like tons of boxes, which I found kind of funny.
It was cute. So the first box is full of film. The next is like a hat box with Margaret's eyes on it.
And it has, like, the negatives or something.
Right, and then there's a Fortnum & Mason box for, like, sweets and stuff like that. And then there's a tin inside that with a ring box inside it. And there is, I can't tell if it's a garnet or a ruby. It looks more like a garnet.
In the ring box, there's another box.
Right, and then there's a garnet-looking ring.
Yeah, it's a redstone, so very pretty.
I will say this, Vanessa Kirby's performance going through those boxes is brilliant.
Because she, like, figures it out.
Right. She goes from, you know, like, joking fun to being very serious and realizing that this is a serious proposal.
Well, as serious as he can be.
Right. And so it is a beautiful study in how to do that just facially, because she doesn't say anything.
Yeah, she doesn't have any lines for that.
No. And he's like, I hate the idea of losing you more than the idea of marriage.
Well, no, also, he says, I'm sorry that I'm not on one knee. It's not because of deference, but because I'm chafed from fucking you. And I'm like, lovely. Isn't that what you want out of a proposal, Margaret?
Well, or maybe they did it on the stairs and it would hurt. Things happen.
They do it anywhere but the bed. Yeah. It's like, what the hell? Or a couch, or anywhere that could be remotely comfortable.
Yeah, it's just, ugh. So, they make promises to each other, too. Tony asks her, promise not to bore me. And Margaret's like, as long as you promise not to hurt me, basically.
Very different promises.
Very different promises, and neither one of them
they can conflict. So, yes.
Well, and neither one of them really intends to keep either of them, but that's fine. So Margaret goes to tell Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, I love this. She's like, I promise not to make any obstacle to any marriage of yours ever again.
Like, she already knows.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, but Margaret then says that she's got to have her announcement, and she needs to have it quickly because Peter's going to be marrying his secretary.
Yeah, because she wants the announcement first. And then Margaret leaves.
Oh, no. You forget this because... Or was it, maybe it's later. Oh, it is later.
It's intercut.
Yeah, okay. Tony
calls his mother, but his mother, who's in the background, refuses to answer.
What a bitch. She's like, oh, she's busy. It's like, she's not.
Like,
she's...
you also had time to, like, go and have dinner with your son, but you can't pick up the phone. Like, really? Like, really?
She's a terrible person.
She's horrible.
And a terrible mother.
But... Yes. And then you see that Margaret comes over and makes him feel better with sex. And then... And this is intercut with Elizabeth talking to Michael, who wants to, Elizabeth basically wants the help from the press secretaries and private secretaries and such to help Margaret make the statement
about the engagement
and stuff. And Margaret's like starting to make wedding plans, like they're going to have it in the Abbey, new meets old, whatever.
And she wants it to be bigger than my sister's wedding.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's all kind of sibling rivalry with both of them. Because
both of them.
What we had heard a little bit is that...
His half-brother.
His mom did not come to his gallery opening because, oh, your half-brother had, you know, like a parade. Like, he's a military guy and had a parade. He's like, they have a parade all the time. Well, I had to be there. It's like, well, I have a gallery opening like once a year. What's your deal?
Yeah.
And she's clearly like... The sense of, like, the one child is the better child kind of thing.
Yeah. And then it's clear that Elizabeth, regardless of how she feels about the match, wants to make sure that Margaret gets to do what she wants to do. Michael, of course, says there's a problem. And I'm like, of course there fucking is.
Why is there always a fucking problem.
And it's always when Margaret is trying to get engaged. Every time.
Right.
And then, Margaret wants to outshine Elizabeth and Philip's wedding, and she goes to Elizabeth and tells her the plan to have it in the Abbey, and then gives her the statement for the press, and then apparently they have to delay the engagement announcement for a few months because Elizabeth is pregnant. And this is a stupid fucking rule that apparently until the heir or whatever, the royal baby is born, then you can't make any family announcements. That makes no fucking sense.
That's insane.
Like, what if someone dies and you can't make an announcement about that? Like, what?
It's insane.
Like, of course, I understand the idea of, like, okay, no news is more big than the birth of the baby, but it's like, what if there is?
And this is a third child, too.
Yeah, why is that important? Andrew doesn't fucking matter. Like, just let Margaret... I'm sorry, but yeah, he's...
Well, especially now.
Especially now. Given the context now.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's... Yeah,
this is stupid.
That will come up in a later episode.
And Margaret's just like, of course there's another rule that you are just bringing up to spite me. And Elizabeth is like, no, but we'll throw a party to show support and all that stuff.
Yeah, and you know, it'll be unlike Peter, and she's like, yeah.
You bet. Never helps with Peter, right. So, yeah, I hope
then
it will be.
You see Tony with the swingers watching TV and discussing what kind of rank
Tommy off in ginger ale, I'm
he
sorry.
Will have. And this, we had not seen anything about Mr. I Want to Be Unconventional having an interest in his social rank.
Yeah,
it's
no,
like, it'll
like,
probably be an earldom, but maybe a dukedom. And you know, I mean, you just, or...
Or Marquess.
But I'll definitely outrank my mother.
And I'm just like, and that's what matters.
Matters.
Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
And will also rank higher than his half-brother, all that stuff.
Right. And her second husband, the Viscount. You know, it's like,
yeah,
okay.
And also, like, apparently Tony has a polio-twisted leg.
Yeah, I didn't...
Like, no, they showed, like, a crutch at one point.
Right.
That he hid under, like, a
bed
or something. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, he doesn't use it ever. Mm-hmm. So, it's interesting. It's an interesting thing to add. Okay.
Yeah, that is
just I bet they just, like, the dramaturgs or whatever, the historical accuracy people were, or the people trying their best with that, found
yeah.
that one random, like, tidbit and were like, we need to add this.
Yeah, yeah, that... and so, like, for, like, two steps, he limps, and that's the rest of, that's the entire day.
Yeah, after, like, he's on the call with Margaret, that's when he, like, hears Margaret, like, coming up the stairs, and he, like, hides the crutch, like, and then gets up and limps for 2 seconds, and then
yeah,
catches
like, she
her.
Wouldn't know, they're getting married. Anyway,
it doesn't really
crazy.
Matter.
Yeah, so, but then we show, Elizabeth getting, you know, she's getting her hair done. She's getting curlers in her hair. She's clearly uncomfortable in her pregnancy. And
well,
Philip
Peter,
is...
Philip is reading something about Darwinism.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. He's reading Darwin, and he asks about how uncomfortable she is. And she's like, well, when did you suddenly get interested? Because I think that time period, and I think this is certainly true of my parents' generation as well, like, it was very separate. The you know, pregnant woman is like, oh, it's almost like they don't even talk to you about it. It's like, it's weird. Those are girl things, you know, it's just bizarre.
You have to have some stuff, but I mean, it's like, I feel like, and I've never been pregnant before, but
I have.
I know you have. I'm the byproduct, but, that's my new name, the byproduct, but I think
byproduct.
I feel like it's just kind of, it's hard to explain, like a lot of stuff where it's like human body, like how you feel, like if you're in like discomfort, you have discomfort or anything like that, like what kind of pain is it, or if it's just discomfort and that kind of thing. So it's like, I feel like it's just hard to explain.
Yeah. So,
like that was hard to explain for me, but
right. So what she says is like, it's not pain. It's just discomfort. It's like being big and you know, if
she's
tired,
her toes are disappearing.
Right. And if her, you know, if the baby decides
sit
to, like,
sit
in her pelvis, it's just, you know, it's hard to move, those kinds of things. All of that's true.
And Philip's like, I like your toes. I think it's one of your best features.
It's
and
just
she's
like,
just like, that
oh.
sounds like, a lot like an insult. and then he's just...
Well,
she's
the second
like,
best thing about you.
Yeah. And then, so what's the first thing? And he's like, And it's obviously, it's going to be her... Press. But
right.
He's
like, well, there are two things.
Yeah, and then it's just like the milkmaids or something.
Yeah, and the barmaid.
And then they play like they role play a little bit with her as a barmaid and it, like just like looking in the mirror and he's just like, look me in the eyes when you like pull back like the
yeah, when you're holding a mug or whatever. And
yeah,
like
when you're pouring the drink or something and
yeah,
then it just,
they
it
just
makes
start
her,
giggling.
Yeah,
it's
it
cute.
Makes her smile and he knows how to do that best. He knows how to make her feel better.
Absolutely.
And it's really cute.
So Margaret shows up to this party at Buckingham Palace, and of course that she's dressed to the nines and looks amazing.
She looks fantastic.
There is a rock and roll band playing, which is, you know, very different from.
Are you sure it's rock and roll?
It's kind of like 50s kind of rock around the clock kind of band. Yeah.
Sure.
That's technically rock and roll.
Okay.
It's not like heavy metal or something. So if you're thinking that that's what rock is, no.
No, wasn't what I was thinking, but still.
All right. So, and then Elizabeth sees Tony's friends. And
well, the
yeah,
room
again,
is kind of split in half with like the bohemian and regal worlds colliding and all that stuff.
Right. But she's watching and you know, I love this about how Elizabeth reads a room. And they do show this pretty well. Like, she's just watching how people are interacting. And she sees his friends and, you know, hears, like, Tony's best friend making fun of the portraits of the ancestors. And, you know, the swingers are kind of like,
they're
oh,
messing with
ridiculous.
The servants
yeah,
and stuff,
like,
which is rude. And also, and then you see Mrs. Fry, who tells Tony that she's pregnant and she's fairly certain that it's his. I'm like,
right. So you're just watching it.
I'm sorry, but you don't like just have sex with your husband without Tony there, or do you just only have, how does that threesome work in that way? Like, does she only focus on Tony and nothing about her husband?
I don't think that's how that's going.
Well, yeah, no, that's why I'm confused. I'm just kind of like, so you just never have sex with your husband ever?
Well, no, there are other forms of sex.
I'm aware of that, Mother. I'm just saying.
Do you want me to explain this to you?
I don't need you to explain it. I'm just confused on how their threesome works, because it can vary, but it doesn't matter.
Yes, it can vary, and apparently it has varied, and according to her, there's no other, I mean, she's 90% sure that the baby would be Tony's. And this whole exchange and the seriousness of it and the demeanor of both of them, Elizabeth is watching it. And mm-hmm. she senses something is not right here. Something's going on between them. And then Philip is talking about how much the country's changed. She and Philip are like later in the evening sitting in some chairs watching, you know, everyone dancing. Her mom, the queen mother, is doing the bunny hop. She's doing the conga line or the bunny hop or whatever. And so Philip is upset because he's like, there were so many objections.
Even though he was royalty in his own right.
Right, and I have a pedigree.
Even related to Queen Victoria. Like, right. It's not a stretch for him to be like, okay, he's suitable. And yet he was, like, marked as, oh no, you can't have him. And there were, like, bars to their marriage and stuff. And yet, Margaret can do this.
Yeah, she can marry this
guy. And technically, she was in a similar situation as Margaret, given the fact that she was a princess at the time.
Right.
And so, it's not like it makes any sense.
No, it really does not. I mean, obviously, at that point, they knew Elizabeth was the heir. But
they knew she was the heir, but they thought they had more time. So
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't really matter.
Yeah. And it's pretty clear that the queen mother likes like the party boy thing, and she likes Tony.
She's just loving it
because she's fine with all of that stuff. So Elizabeth puts Michael, this is like on Tony's trail, and it comes.
Of course,
up,
Michael immediately goes to Tommy.
Immediately brings in Tommy Lassels, which is like perfect, right?
Yeah. Tommy basically says that Tony breaks barriers and conventions in art and life and is conducting no fewer than 3 other intimate affairs that are natural relationships, also known as straight.
Yeah.
With a dancer, actress, and former assistant.
Now, hang on. I love the way this is phrased. And I wrote this down specifically because this is Tommy trying to defend trying to say he's not being judgmental. But he said, like, by no means does this represent a prurient, moralistic, or stentorious position.
Yeah, no, I heard him say those words, and I was like, you're just trying to skate around the fact that you don't
You're
approve.
Being judgmental. You don't approve. Well, of course, you know, on many levels, I don't approve also, but not for the same reasons.
I'm not, like, homophobic or anything. It's just, like, he also says that he's bi and conducts affairs with, like, Mr. and Mrs. Fry, and that they know Mrs. Fry is pregnant. And so it's not...
Yeah,
I judge him because I'm not a big polyamory person, and so and also conducting affairs within marriages is not a thing that I approve of, and so going forward, a lot of the plot lines are like I especially when we get to like season 4 and 5, I'm just like I really can't deal with this.
Yeah. So Elizabeth asks to see a picture of Mrs. Fry
and
recognizes her, and she puts 2 and 2 together
and dramatically goes
into early labor. It's like, oh wow,
this shock of like bisexuality and affairs and all that stuff has caused her to go into labor.
Right. This is the only time we get to see her in labor, which I find really. Very interesting. Because
I thought it odd they didn't show, like, they did the whole montage thing of, like, early marriage with her and Philip, so it's not like, you see there, like, some videos from, like, Anne's christening or something, but you mm-hmm. don't see any of, like, the labor for those two, but since...
Right. And part of what interests me with this is that, you know, had seen, and it's portrayed in, like, movies and stuff about, like, Victoria gives birth to babies in the palace kind of thing, but Elizabeth did, too. And it fascinates me because it's such an unclean process
And you have these immaculate... Well,
they have enough, like, stuff for, well, like, more sheets.
Right. I mean, it just... It's such... And you also get the sense that I think George VI's lung surgery was, like, done in the palace or something.
Yeah,
it's bizarre.
Based off of the show, yeah.
Right. It's bizarre, and it's just an interesting concept, but they also, like... She's been through this more than once, so it's almost like having Cecil Beaton just, you know, have your birth. So, all right, so we're going to give you some milk of the poppy here. It's not actually milk of the poppy. Twilight sleep. We're going to give you a little twilight sleep, and you know, her whole labor is actually very planned and studied and all of that stuff.
Well, yeah.
But meanwhile, Philip is playing squash.
Yeah, with some random guy. And
right.
Then the prime minister is informed about the expected birth, and he says, "A moment's prayer on behalf of the government." Yeah, I'm sorry, that cracked me up for no reason.
Yeah, it's just the way Qyburn is playing Macmillan is very religious. It's very
kind of dry.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's almost more like moralistic. I guess I think would be a. He tries to be kind of this old-fashioned kind of guy. It's very interesting.
Yeah, we haven't seen any prime ministers like that recently. Anyway.
Well, no, Philip is... But he's different from Winston, who's this much bigger personality.
Regardless,
Hey, I know it bores you. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, we've had old-fashioned for most of the prime ministers we've seen in the show. Okay. I'm just saying.
I just think the tone is different. But whatever. So Philip is not playing squash well, but Andrew is born.
I also love him. Philip just, like, cursing the entire time trying to, like, do the squash game.
Yeah. So Philip, it's almost like Philip hears about it on a radio or something. It's weird.
Well, the birth is successful and, yeah, obviously. And
the RAF do a flyover and that interests Philip.
Well, yeah, Philip is about to celebrate with a cigar but puts it down. I think that's nice.
I didn't even notice that. I was thinking more like, oh, these are the things we know about Philip. He likes military stuff. Look, it's a flyover.
Well, he's about to light this cigar, but then he decides not to, and I think it's kind of a reflection on him realizing that now that he's, again, reminding him of him being a parent. Obviously, he's reminded of that every day with his actual children. the two children he already has, but with the birth of the next one, it's kind of like, well, he's reminded of how Elizabeth's father was, and it's just like, yeah, I don't, and how Elizabeth, like, doesn't really approve of that, and also you have a child in the castle and you don't want smoke somewhere and
I
stuff.
Was not thinking that he was not going to pick it back up again, so I, you
know, I was just hoping.
Yeah, you're an optimist.
I am.
But in any case, we've got Margaret finally is like, can I make my announcement now? And Elizabeth approves it, and they talk about, you know, what they're going to name the child, and we're going to name him Andrew after Philip's dad. She's like, oh, the bankrupt Philanderer. And the
Philip's
irony...
Father.
Yeah, the irony is not lost on me about the namesake being a bankrupt Philanderer.
Yeah, anyway.
So anyway, they approve the announcement, but Elizabeth is like, look, do you know about Tony?
Yeah.
And she doesn't tell her what.
I'm surprised she doesn't tell her.
I was
kind of
pissed off, actually.
I was pissed off too, but I also think that it's interesting because she wants to make sure that this whole announcement and this whole engagement is not just revenge on Peter. I do think that's an important thing. Especially, like, if she didn't know about the affairs and her focusing on this part of it, it makes sense. But, like, her knowing about the affairs, I was waiting the entire time because I couldn't remember whether or not she told her, but I was just like, why aren't you? Like,
right,
this
she's
is,
like, well, he's got a complicated past and a complicated present. It's
just
like,
tell her.
Just tell her, but, you know, whatever.
But Margaret's like, I'm breaking away from all this stuff, but Alyssa says that she isn't because she likes the privileges too much
I actually like this exchange, and I kind of wrote some of the stuff down. So Margaret's like, I'll marry Tony if it's the last thing I do. He defines me. I'm kind of like, okay, isn't that kind of conventional for a wife to be defined by her husband? What are you talking about? But she's like, you know, I represent, you know, an independent woman. I'm free to live, to love, and to break away. And Elizabeth, you're right, says you won't give up the deference. You won't give up the privileges. You won't give up
the
money.
You've always enjoyed it more than I do.
Right. You enjoyed it more than I did. I just wanted to disappear. And then Margaret's like, oh, well, you've done a great job. You've managed to become invisible while wearing the crown.
And then Elizabeth's like, really?
Yeah.
Right now? Can we not?
And Margaret's like, I'll see you in the Abbey. It was just such childish crap.
It's so stupid.
But they do show everybody getting ready for the wedding.
Including the children. Like, yeah. You see Anne and Charles. And I love Anne, like, swatting away. Like,
they're putting flowers in my hair. Crap.
And Charles is just kind of like, I'm just getting ready.
And they're making him wear a kilt. It's like, okay.
And you see the side pieces getting ready, too. And you see Mrs. Fry is very pregnant. And...
Yeah.
Margaret looks amazing in her wedding gown because, of course, she does. Philip also is the one who, I'm assuming, who
Margaret
wandered down the aisle.
Yes, yes. But Margaret's headpiece for her veil is this kind of giant diamond crown. Mm-hmm. It's very tall. It's kind of like almost medieval princessy. It's just.
It's very Margaret.
But it's also, bigger and better and all of those things.
That's the whole point. But Philip also tells Margaret as they're getting into the carriage that her father would have been proud.
Yeah. Which I think is very kind of him.
Yeah.
And Margaret's dress is a lot like Princess Kate's wedding dress.
It is.
Very, very similar.
I kind of prefer Kate's. But
I do too. But
I just like lace though, so I mean.
But I like the sheerness too. It's very sophisticated, Margaret's.
Anyway, Tony's mom and him are in the carriage? Car?
Yes.
They're in a car.
Yeah.
And Tony's mom says, oh, I hope you didn't do this for me. I'm like, shut up.
Well, right, because he's being, like, petty and childish. Like, well, you know, you thought I'd never amount to anything. And you know, look around you. Isn't this great? Like, you know, your other son wouldn't be able to do this. And she's like, I hope you didn't do all of this for me. And, you know, he's pissed off, like, how dare she say it? But it's like, you're making her think that it's an issue. So
Margaret's
I think
also basking the attention and all that stuff, and then Tony and Margaret get married, and that's the end of the episode.
The part of the vows that you get to hear, though, it's not the lusts part, it's the forsaking all others parts.
Of course.
And you hear that her name, instead of being this cumbersome Elizabeth the Alexandra Mary, is Margaret Rose.
Hmm.
And that's it, and it's very sweet, and that's the end of the episode. What was your best part?
The costumes. I like Philip cheering up Elizabeth about being pregnant. I also like Elizabeth being frank with Margaret about her position and how, like, you're not really breaking away because, and that's the whole thing, like, she could have done that with Peter, but she didn't. And also, you just like the privileges too much. But yeah, those two, or those three.
Yeah.
I guess, because there aren't that many from this episode.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of best parts. And I wrote down, and it made sense to me when I wrote it, something about Tony, but I can't...
What about Tony could possibly be a best part?
In this episode, I think it's his performance as Tony.
I think it's good. It's just, I don't like the character.
I don't like the character, but he's made not likable.
Well, yeah, but I think it... I don't know. There's villain, and I like... villain. That makes no sense. But there have been times where I really like the villains and their, like, portrayals and stuff, but when it's as... I don't know. It's just sad.
Right. This is not, like, a pure evil thing. It's just...
It's not mustache twirling or anything.
Yeah, no.
It's not, like, badass or anything like that. He's just...
No, it's petty.
Petty.
And he is, and I think that... But I do think the performance is... interesting. What was your worst part?
Tony and Margaret doing things for the wrong reasons, which is the entire episode.
Yes.
Tony having affairs constantly, and Elizabeth not telling Margaret about the affairs.
Yeah.
I think, which is, again, most of the episode. So I
Right, so I think, you know, I agree with all of those as specifics. My worst part is Margaret's determination to marry him regardless. I don't think that if Elizabeth had told her any of that stuff...
I don't think it would have made a difference, but I would have seen Elizabeth in a better light,
right,
I guess.
Right, it's more descriptive of Elizabeth's character than Margaret's.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's absolutely determined, and it's... Ugh. So how did you grade this episode?
How about you go first, because I think I have a...
I wrote down a B, but I'm thinking B minus.
Hmm.
And part of the reason that I graded it that highly, and because I don't like this episode much, is that it's pretty. it is pretty, and I think Vanessa Kirby is beautiful, and I like all of her clothes, which is a childish reason. But anyway.
I gave it a C. The thing is, I gave that one episode with Lord Altrincham and all that stuff the modernist kind of episode, like a C+, and it's, I definitely hate this more than that, so, yeah, I was, actually, I originally put C+, but then I was just like, no, this is a C for me, either that or a C-, because honestly, I really hate this episode. It's another thing, I mentioned this before, whenever it's a Margaret episode, and this is another Margaret episode, so, this is the last specifically Margaret episode of the season, but whenever it's a Margaret episode, you just see a lot of self-destruction, and I really don't like that. Yeah. And when people are kind of contributing to that by, like, not telling her things, or... And also, I just don't like Tony. Because, for many reasons. And again, like I said, my worst parts, they're just doing everything for the wrong reasons. And they clearly want something completely different out of this marriage, or in life in general.
Yes.
So I don't understand why they decided to do what they did, because the sex is good. I don't know. And he's probably had more. And it's just, I don't know. It,
yeah.
I just don't like it. And also, it's another thing that it's like a historical event that just makes her life harder. And that's not fun to watch. No. So, yeah, see.
Yeah, no, I'm not really arguing it, other than it's pretty.
Sure.
So, yeah, and that's not a good reason at all to grade it.
It was in my best parts, so that's...
There you go. All right, well, we will be going into our next episode, which is Season 2, Episode 8, Dear Mrs. Kennedy, very soon. And we hope that you tune in and that you join us. And
cheers.